time. It is time to get into football because we finally saw the veterans out on the field for the first time, as I mentioned, for the first OTA. To talk more about that, we bring in our very own John Kangemi to break down exactly what transpired today. And John, first of all, good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you
guys.
Hope
you had a great weekend as well.
Everything was awesome. Thank you, partner.
And I wanted to start with the linebacker position because that was one of the first things that stood out as we were watching practice today. Koumissi making the move on the inside as it was much rumored. What do you think about everything that you saw from that linebacking core?
Well, he definitely, you know, fits the part in the middle. You, no one knows until you put pads on and you're practicing and you go through preseason and you get your fits and you're a little sore and you, you know, you get a lot more in the playbook, not only in the classroom but out on the football field. But you know, it, more importantly, it brings Danelle Ellerbe back to his natural position on the strong side, on the outside for the Miami Dolphins. I think that's the most significant change because Danelle Ellerbe, you know, although he made the tackles, he didn't make any impactful plays, those plays that are going to change football games. We've said this a couple of times in the offseason, that linebacking core did not force one forced fumble the entire season. That means getting your hand on a football, getting your helmet on the football, anything, you know, that would force a turnover of put the football on the ground for the Miami Dolphins to scoop and score, to get field position. So I think Koumissi moving to the middle is a good experiment for the Miami Dolphins. I don't think it's in stone yet, but I do think it's inked in there, and they're going to stick with it. They're going to see how the players around Koumissi progress, how Danelle progresses on the outside. Philip Wheeler in his second year with Kevin Coyle's defense, how is he going to be on the weak side? You know, how are the coverage skills? How are the fits in the run game going to be with those guys maybe flipping positions? And then behind him, Jason Trusnik took a lot of snaps at middle linebacker with the second unit. So you'll see Jordan Tripp probably do the same thing as we go along and they start to infuse the rookies into this OTAs and they get more reps, you know, maybe with the second team. So a lot of changes so far on the defensive side.
Yes, and just a reminder, everybody, these aren't necessarily permanent changes, but it's something that the coaching staff certainly is trying out to see what could fit come training camp. Interesting, when Joe Philbin was asked about it afterwards, he said, when asked, hey, is Misi's move permanent or an experiment? He said, yes and yes. So again,
I concur.
Yeah, he's not tipping his hand one way or the other, but certainly that's the way they lined up today. Okay, the other thing we were looking at amongst many was the offensive line, because we already know Brandon Albert on one side, Juwan James the other, Mike Pouncey in the middle, but we got some answers as far as who's going to play the guard position.
Very interesting. Dallas Thomas moved into the left side, you know, to start out with that with the number ones at left guard, and Shelly Smith was in the right side. So not a huge surprise with Shelly Smith when you go out in free agency and you acquire a guy and you pay him a bunch of money to come in. You expect him to play. You expect him to start at a high level. But Dallas Thomas being penciled in on the left side, you know, maybe he has a little bit more seniority, obviously, than Billy Turner coming in the, you know, the third pick in the draft this year for the Miami Dolphins. Nate Garner, I thought, was interesting. Played the left tackle in a backup role. Played the right tackle in a backup role. You know, could see some action at guard. You know, Sam Brenner playing some backup center today. I thought that was good. Jason Fox getting some flexibility today. So a lot of good things with that offensive line, but you know, the top five, you mentioned the top three, the guy in the middle is going to have the pressure on him, and that's Mike Pouncey, because with Bill Lazor's offense, there's a lot more that's going through the center position in terms of recognition, in terms of calls at the line of scrimmage. Also, the pace that they break the huddle, get to the line of scrimmage, call a play, and snap the football. They want to put the pressure on the opposing defenses. That's what I saw first glimpse today.
And one, another way they'll put pressure on the opposing defenses is via the wide receiver position. I know OJ was looking at this carefully as well, but question marks surrounding Brian Hartline, Brandon Gibson, Armon Binns, the guys coming off their knee injuries. What did you see from them as they got out on the field for the first time in front of us?
Well, that was the first thing Juice and I looked at today. We were saying, hey, where's 82? Where's 10? You know, where's 19? Want to see these guys. Well, not only were they out there, they were dressed just like everybody else. They may not have done, you know, the entire practice like everybody else. Armon Binns did, which is a very good sign, but he might have the most to prove out of those three, you know, to come back. He needs to be on the football field if he's healthy. He needs to get his number 19 on film so he can be evaluated. But it was nice to see Brian Hartline go through some routes, you know, maybe not full speed, but, you know, at a speed where you felt like he was comfortable running. And, you know, Brandon Gibson got not only some work you know, in individual drills, but on his own. He did a lot of running on his own. I think these guys are going to be pretty good to 100, you know, pretty close to 100% once training camp comes around, and they're going to have to be with a new offense, the way we saw routes being run and we saw different things going on. The ball's going to get out of the quarterback's hands, you know, fairly quickly. So these guys are going to have to be in and out of their routes. They're going to have to be 100% to be able to go through a whole practice. And I think as the OTAs maybe get to number 8, number 9, number 10, you may see Brian Hartline do a little bit more. You might see Brandon Gibson maybe do a little bit more. But as of right now, those are the first numbers we looked at, Juice, on the offensive side. We were happy to see him out there.
Oh, we were definitely happy to see him out there. And actually, like you said, John, going through more drills than we thought. You know, I thought, you know, a lot of times in college when somebody wasn't working, they come out with a red X or the medical jerseys on. These guys had helmets, cleats on. I even looked at Brandon Gibson and I said, does he have cleats on or sneaks on? And John said, those are like cleats right there. So those are always good signs. You got guys that are coming off injury and guys they were counting on as an offense, especially that wide receiver position, because right now it's a critical time for those guys when you're putting in that new offense. You know, you got a lot of young guys that are trying to fight for some playing time and a spot on this roster as well. I know those veterans that are a little banged up want to be out there on that field too because they don't want to lose time to these young guys that are out there as well. So it was nice to see the guys running around. And what I noticed more than anything was that there were very few mistakes out there from these guys. For these guys being to a new offense, they got on the ball. We had maybe a false start, maybe two false starts. But other than that, you saw guys flying around, looked like they knew what they were doing right away, and they're just starting the installs right now. So they've got off to a pretty good start today.
Another surprise, I guess you could say, out there was part of the coaching staff, a volunteer coach who was out there, a notable name that many Dolphins fans will be interested in knowing. Jason Taylor was out on the field.
Yeah, it looked great. You know, that was probably the biggest surprise for me today was to see JT. And, you know, he had the full script. He had the full coaching garb on. The only thing he didn't have was maybe a whistle that was hanging down from his neck. But such a great fit for a Deion Jordan coming into his second season with the Miami Dolphins. You know, when he was drafted, everybody automatically had 99 on their brain because of the stature and the frame and what he does as a collegiate athlete. But now coming into his second year, he needs that wisdom that JT has on a daily basis. It's just not maybe a one-time thing. So I think if Jason Taylor continues to volunteer as one of those coaches out there, that's the one guy that will benefit the most because he knows the position better than anybody walking the earth, you know, in South Florida right now. And if he can just implement some of those ideas and refine some of those moves that he has and maybe just critique him, you know, a little bit more with that eye on him for 2 hours at a practice, man, that guy can grow very quickly.
You know, I look at Jason's presence out there as a plus from this standpoint as well. Not only for Deion Jordan, but you have to look at the other young guys that are out there. I mean, Jason's the thing about Jason, he got off the football. And to me, you can never learn enough about getting off from the football. I mean, he was the master at it, and he uses athletic ability to get around people. But one thing about it, he learned how to play the run. Despite the fact that Jason is long and lean, he uses leverage to learn how to play the run. And I think that's going to benefit Jordan from the standpoint that when you learn how to use your leverage and your long arms, then you will become a better run stopper. And, you know, he has a long wingspan, so he has to be able to use that to his advantage. So really it's not about just rushing the passer. It's about learning how to play the run effectively. And you're talking about OV. You're talking about all these other young, even Cam. I'm sure Cam is still taking pointers from Jason because when you're that veteran guy, you're not going to teach everybody everything you know. You're not going to teach guys that those things that take your job. Now, Jason can pretty much say, hey, here's all the things I had in my repertoire. Now you go out and you do what you want with those things. So that's where I love it. I love it from that standpoint that now you get a chance to see a Dolphin legend out on the football field, and he's able to give his input to these young guys, not only just Jordan, but to all the guys. And I think that'll be a booster to the whole football team. Because when you look at the team in general, to see a guy like Jason out there who's recently retired to come back and give his time back, I think that means a lot to the organization and that means a lot to this Miami Dolphin football team.
Yeah, and just to kind of bring some closure to that thought, this was Joe Philbin talking about having a new assistant coach, at least for the time being.
Well, I told him at our 7 o'clock staff meeting, I don't think he's really knew what he was signing up for, you know, so we hope he's back tomorrow. No, I think he's going to be around a lot in the OTAs. You know, he's approached us about working with the defensive linemen. I don't know that there could be a better mentor for our young players than Jason Taylor. He's energetic and enthusiastic about helping out and contributing. And, you know, so I'll have to check with him after how he felt about his first practice. You know, player hours and coaches' hours, the players are on a six-hour day. Coaches aren't. So we're going to encourage that, get as many former players out here as possible. How many want to, you know, put the whistle on, that's another story. But as you guys know, we have a tremendous alumni group. These guys have been very, very supportive of our staff and certainly want to involve them whenever we can.
There, Coach Philbin talking about the coaches' hours versus player hours, and JT having to adjust to that. But again, as you guys both just talked about, good sign to see him out there, and can only benefit those guys. And especially when you, if these guys understand what he's done, and he's not that far removed from playing, I think that can make a large impact as well. Okay, finally, John, while we have you in here, another thing that stood out and something we were looking at going into this OTA was a cornerback position. We all know about Brent Grimes, signed the extension in the offseason, but who was going to play opposite him with a lot of different candidates there, and it ended up being Courtland Finnegan?
Well, you know what? It looks like Courtland Finnegan is healthy. That's the most important thing. That was one of the reasons what really held him back over the last couple of seasons when he played. He wasn't his old self. He didn't play like a guy that was a Pro Bowler. He didn't play like a guy that had a whole lot of confidence. I saw him out there today, and he looked like, you know, Brent Grimes of last year, you know, running and cutting and being energetic and taking guys aside after practice and going over things that, you know, maybe that'll make the young guys, the young bucks on the corner a little bit better. But I saw what I saw in Courtland Finnegan was a determined player that has wisdom and that has knowledge and that really can still play the game. I mean, he moves well, and they look great in tandem. Brent Grimes and Courtland Finnegan look great in tandem, and it's going to take a lot of pressure off the middle of that football field. If you can lock down on the outside, man, that's going to really – that front seven is going to be able to have do a lot of things that they weren't able to do last year. Not saying that Patterson or whoever, man, you know, Nolan Carroll, whoever was not playing up to par, they did. But when you have two guys that are out there that play kind of the same way when with tenacity at the point of attack, that love to bump and run or can play off and still play man coverage, you can do a lot of different things with your defense.
Yeah, it was good to see him running around out there, because I think that we've already been able to tell in the short time he's been here that he can provide an edge of leadership in the locker room, but kind of that edge and intensity that perhaps was missing last year. And so I think that will only play a factor if he can also produce on the field. So it was nice to see those things in tandem, at least for today, as we are early on in this offseason. But good stuff, John. Appreciate your input on everything. We're going to talk to you again in the 5 o'clock hour to kick things off, just to give everybody a feel for what they missed out there at the OTAs. You know, Dolphins fans starving for information to know what this team is going to look like entering 2014.